work. Each Tuesday evening at this time, the White Sales Corporation of Scotts, Michigan, brings you a program about the industries of Western Michigan and the people who work in them. Through these programs, we hope our listeners may become better acquainted with Western Michigan at work. This evening, we visit the Dunkley Company. Your guide, Dr. Willis Dunbar.
135 million pounds of cherries are being harvested in Michigan this month. That's about one-half the total United States crop. And 90% of those cherries go to canneries where the pits are removed by machines made in Kalamazoo. 35 years ago, a man named Samuel J. Dunkley invented this cherry-pitting machine and had it patented. Today, more than 600 of these machines are in canneries all over the nation. Their use makes it possible for all of us to buy canned cherries at much less than they would cost if it were necessary to pit all the cherries by hand. The Dunkley Company occupies a fine new building out on Lake Street, erected in 1947. I paid a visit to the plant a few days ago and met Abe Vandeweel, the general manager, and his brother, Andy Vandeweel, the superintendent of the factory. Both men have been with the company since 1916. And another brother, John, was once associated with Dunkley, but he now operates a cannery of his own in northeast Pennsylvania. The Dunkley Company is a Michigan corporation. It is owned, however, by Libby McNeil and Libby of Chicago, and is operated as a separate unit of that company. The Dunkley Company has an interesting history. Samuel J. Dunkley, its founder, was an inventive genius, one of those chaps who loves to tackle a mechanical problem that baffles everyone else and find an answer to it. Originally, he was in the celery business here in Kalamazoo back in the 1890s. He was a shipper of celery, but he didn't stop there. As one might expect from a fellow of Mr. Dunkley's ingenuity, that wasn't enough. His company made a product called celery mustard, another called celery salad, another called celeryade drops, I suppose that was a lozenger with a celery flavor, and also Dunkley's genuine celery remedies. It was long supposed, you know, that celery had peculiar medicinal values. Indeed, I believe a patent medicine using celery flavoring still is on the market. Dunkley even canned celery. Apparently, canning was his chief interest, for he operated a peach canning factory at South Haven and another at Hartford. Running canning factories gave this mechanically inclined man an opportunity to devise new gadgets and labor-saving machinery to his heart's content. Finally, he got so interested in this that he gave up his canneries and confined his attention to inventing machinery for canning factories. He was very adept at this. For instance, he rigged up a machine which defuzzed, pitted, and peeled peaches all in one operation. But this got him into a lengthy and expensive patent suit with a larger concern. And although he won that suit, the expense dissipated most of what he had accumulated in his canning factories. Mr. Dunkley was not the sort of a man who, when he made an invention, was willing to mass-produce the machine that he had devised and then sort of lean back and enjoy the profits. As soon as he had put a machine together and proved that it would work, well, then he promptly lost all interest in it, let others do the mass production. The cherry pitter proved to be, in the long run, the invention around which the modern company bearing Mr. Dunkley's name was to be built. In 1926, ownership of this company was acquired by Libby McNeil and Libby, who still own it, as we mentioned a moment ago. The cherry pitter's foundation is a drum about 18 inches in diameter, which contains hundreds of hollow places just large enough for a cherry and having a small hole in the bottom through which the pit may be ejected. Cherries are fed in onto this drum, which carries them under a battery of so-called needles. 53 cherries are pitted each half second. The needles or picks are very sharp and shaped like a star. They carry away only about 12% of the volume of the cherry, and that includes the pit. The pit comes out clean and with very little of the pulp attached. Patents protect these machines. They're not sold, but they're leased to the canneries. The canner pays so much per season to use them. Originally, there were a lot of problems connected with these machines, but most of these have been solved. During the cherry season, which starts on the West Coast in June and begins in Michigan right after the 4th of July, Dunkley's keep a force of skilled mechanics in the field to service all these machines. If any of them give trouble, a serviceman is never very far distant. He travels by automobile and therefore can reach country canneries very quickly. The machines are seldom, if ever, brought into the factory for repair, as they're very sensitive and difficult to transport without throwing out of adjustment. The largest single cherry-producing area is located in Door County, Wisconsin, which has produced as high as 45 million pounds of cherries a season. There are a lot of cherries produced and canned here in Michigan. Largely because of the fame of the Cherryland Festival, many people have the idea that the Grand Traverse area is the largest producer of canned cherries. However, Mr. Vanderweel told me that the company has more machines in the area from Muskegon to Benton Harbor than anywhere else in the state. One cannery in Benton Harbor operates 20 machines, but one in Door County, Wisconsin, has 50. The production and servicing of these cherry pitters is, of course, more or less of a seasonal business. To provide steady work for its employees, the Dunkley Company also makes other types of canning equipment, as well as different kinds of conveyors. Out in the Dunkley plant, I saw a strawberry slicer capable of turning out 20,000 pounds an hour of this fruit, ready for freezing. I also saw a combination conveyor cooking machine that can process 260 number 2 cans per hour. Further along in the plant, I saw a strawberry washer and conveyor. There was a great deal of white rubber belting used to convey the fresh fruit. Also in process of manufacture was a blueberry grater, and I'm told that was the first machine ever to be made. It automatically separates the large, medium, and small blueberries. Dunkley makes conveyor systems on special order for firms not engaged in canning, firms like paper mills, automobile factories, and so on. But outside the cherry pitters, the company makes nothing on a mass production basis. It specializes in building conveying equipment and canning factory machines and conveyors to meet certain particular needs and specifications. To this extent, you see, it sort of carries on the Dunkley tradition of machine craftsmanship. All of the employees are skilled machinists, most of them with from 10 to 20 years experience. You may be interested in a rather unique coal-saving device that the canneries where cherries are processed in quantity have. The wet cherry pits are used as fuel to supplement coal. Plants which used to burn 10 tons of coal a day now use only 2 by burning the wet pits, which make a hot blue flame. Curiously enough, the pits are not much good for fuel once they get dry. No one I talked with could explain just why, but the pits have to be wet in order to have good fuel value. In just a moment, I'll be back with a description of a home cherry pitter and a recording made at the Pawpaw Canning Company today, where I saw cherry pitting machines made by Dunkley in operation.
Western Michigan at Work is sponsored by White Sales Corporation of Scotts, Michigan. They are local distributors of the Dodge Manufacturing Company line of power transmission equipment. Most of our listeners are familiar with the V-belt and pulley used on a water pump or on the fan of an automobile. White Sales have V-belt pulleys in diameter from 3 to 18 inches and up, to 6 grooves wide. They also have an extra heavy industrial series that use a belt about 4 times larger. These are so-called C-section and start at 9 and go up to 24 inches in diameter with as many as 7 grooves wide. These are the type that would be used in a factory to drive from a 75 horsepower motor. All of these Dodge V-belt sheaves have a special patented taper lock bushing to make them fit on any size of shaft. It costs no more to have the best. White Sales also have on hand about 3,000 pulleys. For further information, call them at Scott's 371. Now back to Dr. Willis Dunbar and Western Michigan at Work.
A great many housewives still like to can their own cherries. The most tedious part of that job is pitting the cherries. During the war, Dunkley's loaned the municipal canning plant here in Kalamazoo one of their pitters. And after the plant closed down, it was transferred to a local freezing plant. But that doesn't do the average housewife much good. Well, a local mechanic named Smith Hoover pondered upon the hard work that his wife did in pitting cherries, and finally he told her he's going to make her a machine to do it for her. He used the Dunkley principle to turn out a hand-operated pitter that did the business. Then he thought, well, maybe a lot of other housewives would like to have the same kind of a machine. He got the necessary plastic molds made, and he's now turning out these machines to sell at $2.95 each. You can buy them at your hardware store. They're simple little machines that look something like a food grinder. They're made entirely of plastic, and they're capable of doing a cherry-pitting job for the average housewife. Hoover has 6 people at work at assembling these pitters in a little store on Portage Street, and he expects to produce about 10,000 of them this season. Well, in order to see some of the Dunkley cherry pitters and other canning equipment at work, Mr. Vanderweel and I visited this morning the Pawpaw Canning Company at Pawpaw, which is owned and operated by Leo Kimmel and employs 80 people. This modern up-to-date cannery has the latest equipment. It's housed in a new building, kept spotlessly clean, and the grounds are even landscaped. Here are recordings which we made during our visit, starting at the platform where the fruit is received.
The first step in the canning of cherries is bringing them into the factory. They're brought in and dumped in a pit of water and then are elevated up into huge tanks. I'm standing now right beside this elevator. Perhaps you can hear the mechanism operating. It's an endless metallic chain which carries these cherries right upstairs. Perhaps you can hear them. I can't hardly talk because these cherries are so beautiful. They're so red and luscious looking that it makes my mouth water. They're going up here into huge tanks. There are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 of these huge tanks where they are stored until they're ready to be canned. After the storage bins are full, or when the supply is in at night, then in the morning, the cherries go out the bottom of the tanks and into the cannery. We're standing on the platform where the cherries are received right now, and from here we're going into the factory and describe to you how they're canned. Now we're standing beside these cherry pitters at work that we've been talking to you about. The cherries have come into the canning plant here on an endless belt. They've been inspected by a group of women sitting at three long tables, and now they have been conveyed over here to this battery of five cherry pitters, which are in action pitting these cherries as we've described them to you. Here's what a cherry pitter sounds at work. Cherries come out of the cherry pitter on a long, endless belt, and then they're taken to a further inspection, all on a belt, and then conveyed to a place where they are dropped into cans. Nobody touches these cherries except just to inspect them. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to introduce to you Mr. Eversdyke, who is the superintendent of this beautiful plant here at Pawpaw. Mr. Eversdyke, suppose we imagine a cherry coming out of those storage tanks. How long would it take before that cherry is inspected, pitted, canned, cooked, and labeled and stored in your warehouse?
About 20 minutes.
That's an amazing operation, it seems to me. One of the most astounding mechanical stunts I've seen in a long time. How many of these cherries can you can in an hour, Mr. Eversdyke?
We can about 5 tons an hour, which is equivalent to about 300 cases of 24-2 cherries.
Approximately how long will the cherry season last?
It'll last about 3 weeks yet.
And that means altogether about 4 weeks.
About 5 weeks in all.
Now, you get a lot of cherries down from the north to can here, don't you?
We'll get about 400 tons from up north.
Right at the moment, however, they're mostly cherries grown around here.
Yes.
Thank you, Mr. Eversdyke. We're standing now beside the machine which taps down the fruit in the can, then automatically puts on a top on the can, puts it on and welds it, and stamps an identifying symbol on the can, all in one operation. Perhaps you can hear this marvelous machine at work as the cans roll out. After that, the fruit is cooked and then taken over to the warehouse to label. Standing beside me here in the plant is Mr. Abe Vanderweel, general manager of the Dunkley Company. Mr. Vanderweel, I believe that you made most of the machinery in this plant, didn't you?
We made it all with the exception of the can closing machines, which are made by the Continental Can Company.
Well, I imagine you're very proud of the very beautiful factory here and the efficiency and cleanliness of it. I imagine that you wish all the canneries were just like this one, don't you?
We would have very little trouble if they were all like this. This is one of the finest canneries I've ever been in, and I've been in a lot of them.
Thank you very much, Mr. Vanderweel.
Thus, we bring to a conclusion the story of another industry where you will find Western Michigan at work.
That's the story of the Dunkley Company. Next week, we will bring you the story of Beach Products Incorporated. You have been listening to another Tuesday evening program in the series of Western Michigan at Work, presented to you at this time by White Sales Corporation, Scotts, Michigan. who are local distributors for the Dodge Manufacturing Company line of power transmission equipment.